In all three readings for today, the word root appears. Isaiah says the root of Jesse will stand as a signal for the peoples. Paul reiterates this passage, saying the root of Jesse will come, and in him will all the Gentiles hope. It doesn't take a lot to see who the writers are getting at. Christ is the root of all life, the Alpha and the Omega. Christ is the beginning and the end. He is both the root and the shoot. He is the Almighty God and Lord of Jesse and David, and also the Son of God born to the Virgin Mary and conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord and giver of life, even as swaddled as an infant lying in a manger. Christ is God and man made manifest, the root that gives life to all believers, to all people, even as he has died for the sins of the world. Both Isaiah and Paul refer to this root, the root of Jesse, our Lord, our God Jesus Christ. He has come, and he is a sign to all nations to repent and to receive the life that only he gives. But in Matthew, we hear of a different root, don't we? John the Baptist preaches, and he says, even now, the axe is being laid to the root of bad trees. Bad trees get the axe, even now. Why? Because they bear bad fruit. Evidence that the tree is no longer any good. Trees and fruit go together, just like faith and works go together. The good tree produces good fruit. The bad tree produces unhealthy fruit, whether it's diseased, malnourished, or dead. The bad tree will produce fruit that is rotten and worthless. And it doesn't matter how much fruit is on the tree. If the branches are bare but for a few fruits are heavy with produce, if the tree is bad, friends, the fruit is bad. All of it. At that point, the tree is only good to be cut down and burned. Now, I want to point something out to you. John doesn't speak quantitatively about the fruit. In other words, he doesn't say the tree with less fruit gets the axe. He says the tree that doesn't produce good fruit gets the axe. There's a difference. One apple? Two apples? 100 apples? The question is, can you eat them? Are they any good? Because one good apple is worth more than 100 apples riddled with worms and disease. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're on the scene to see John the Baptist. And they bore plenty of fruit. They loved the law of Moses. They claimed allegiance to Abraham. They were pious. They even added laws of their own. They loved tradition. They loved custom. They were zealous. And so they come on the scene to see what this John the Baptist is all about, only to receive a scathing critique from this prophet of God. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, I have never heard a pastor call his congregation a brood of vipers. That should tell us that John was serious. And we may ask, why did he compare some of his hearers to a heat-seeking snake with hollowed fangs and deadly venom? The answer is, they were bad trees. They did plenty of works, but they did them, friends, without that key element that is faith. They trusted in themselves, and so they were dead in their sin. Remember, fruit, no matter how much, is worthless if the fruit is hanging on a tree that is dead. When you pour through the Gospels, you find something interesting, though. And that is, you see all sorts of people whose sins are very public, the people see them, and or their vocations don't exactly conform to the thinking of the religious elites. Yet, our Lord still considered them part of his flock. The Pharisee wasn't a harlot. He wasn't a Roman soldier. He wasn't a tax collector. He wasn't a leper. He wasn't a Samaritan, and he wasn't an adulteress. He wasn't a poor widow. Yet how marvelous it is to see those who were downcast and scorned in society still believe in Jesus and confess his saving name. The harlot, the widow, the tax collector, the leper, the Samaritan, they're received into the kingdom of God because these people, so heavy with sin, so heavy with iniquity, they knew it. But not only that, they believed in Christ. They believed in Jesus. They knew who the root of Jesse was. They knew and believed in the author and source of life as he walked before them, teaching them his word. They knew the Messiah, that he would forgive them of their sin and heal them of the wretched disease that is sin. In short, they were repentant. They were repentant. They confessed, and they were grateful. They were grateful for the God of Israel, the Holy One, who showered them with his love and his mercy, as he does for all sinners in need. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, weren't repentant. They didn't need Jesus, and they claimed allegiance to Moses. Denying the Christ, they denied their God, and so were still in their sins. They didn't really need the preaching of John the Baptist because to them they didn't need a Savior. And without a Savior, a person is a dead tree bearing dead fruit. Without repentance and faith, one is a dead tree bearing rotten fruit for God to see. Good trees bear good fruit. But also know this, friends. The fruit may not always grow as fast as you want it to. And the fruit may not come in the abundance that you seek. It may be difficult to see this fruit in yourselves or in others. I bought a rose bush one time. It was beautiful when I got it home from the nursery. Planted it, was proud of it, but it didn't take long before the greenery started going away. The rose blooms withered, the petals fell, and before long it looked like a dead twig with thorns just sitting there. In a last-ditch effort to save this rose bush that I was pretty sure it was as good as dead, I dug it up and I moved it. And for whatever reason, it began to grow and blossom and bloom. It became green again. And at one point, before the Arctic blast came through, that is, at one point, at its highest point, it was almost up to my neck. My point is this: just because a tree looks dead doesn't necessarily mean that it is. Again, the harlot, tax collector, leper, adulteress, they looked dead in their sin when in fact they did believe. They had faith in Christ. They knew and they despised their sin, and they came before our Lord penitent and seeking his mercy. Let this be a lesson for you. The fruit may not come as often as you seek or in the abundance that you want. It doesn't necessarily mean that the tree is dead. You may look at other Christians sometime and feel a little intimidated because it seems as if they're exhibiting more fruits than you are. Some are razor sharp on their doctrine. They know every answer to every question, while maybe you struggle to find answers to some basic theological questions. Some Christians are very good at encountering others, evangelizing. They're bold, winsome, charismatic. Others shy away from strangers. They're not very comfortable doing that sort of thing. On and on I could go, but know this: different trees bear different fruit. Different good trees bear different amounts of good fruit. Some have more than others. A comment on that. Now, it is true that God gives various gifts and abilities to people as he so chooses in accord with his good and gracious will. You could think of it this way. Paul calls the church, as does Jesus, the body of Christ. So just think about the human body and its distinctions. Feet, hands, and feet are not all the same, but they do function together in the human body, and they are all important. They have different roles, but they're all crucial for the human body. In the church, not everybody is a hand or a foot. Some are called to be firemen, policemen, teachers, pastors, laborers of all sorts, stay-at-home moms. Not every good tree is the same. Yet, don't take what I just said and use it as an opportunity to sin. Don't look at a neighbor who, let's say, is very good at loving. They show a lot of good loving works. Don't look at that neighbor and say to yourself, well, that's their gift to love their neighbor. That's not my gift, while you go on being rude and insensitive towards others. Don't look at a neighbor who is very good at giving his time, his treasure, and say to yourself, well, that's his gift, not mine, while you continue to sink your God-given money into things like laptops, smartphones, flat-screen TVs, new cars, new trucks, or all the other American necessities, while the church has to beg and scrape just for a dime. God sees that. Don't look at your Christian neighbor who is very patient with others and say, well, that's just his gift, not mine, and continue being quick-tempered towards those around you. There are certain things that God commands every Christian: to love, to be kind, to be patient, to give, to sacrifice for the sake of the neighbor. And when we don't do these things, and we don't, not like we should, it is because of sin, Christian. It is because of sin. And it's because of sin that our rotting and decaying flesh, because of that, we are always on the verge of becoming a dead tree. We are always on the verge of becoming a dead tree. Repent. Hear the message of John the Baptist. Repent. Repent of your selfishness, your pride, your penchant for worrying, your disregard for God and the church. Repent and bear fruit in keeping with repentance, because our Lord comes. Our Lord comes to judge the earth. Also, no, it is this root of Jesse who gives you life, and he gives it to you abundantly. We have to acknowledge that in all this talk about trees and plants, a tree can't water itself, can it? A tree doesn't nourish itself, doesn't prune itself, doesn't uproot and replant itself any more than a dead stone can make itself alive, right? This is God's work. This is another part of John's preaching that is vital for us to hear. It is God who can take a stone and make a child of Abraham. That's another way of John saying, you Pharisees claim lineage to Abraham and think by that you are saved. Well, you are wrong. Because it is God who makes children of Abraham. It is God who makes the dead tree alive. It is God who takes the one dead in trespasses and gives him that gift of faith through his holy word to make him alive in Christ. It is God who makes the tree living and blossoming with fruit pleasing to him. So in the God of Abraham, in this root of Jesse, you have and you find the spiritual sustenance that you need to sustain you unto life eternal. In Christ, you have the kingdom of heaven God richly gives you by his love and his grace. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, says John the Baptist. What is that but to say, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, he is yours. The kingdom of heaven, he is yours because Christ is yours. The kingdom of heaven is yours because of Jesus and everything that he has done for you, living, dying, and rising again to save you from your sins and secure for you, Christian, life everlasting. The kingdom of heaven. has drawn near. You find him in Jesus and his word. You find him in his sacraments. So behold the root of Jesse. This Advent season, the Christ, the Lord of glory who gives life even to dead trees. Fruits and trees go together. Repent, confess, believe in your Savior. He is the kingdom of heaven who has died to make us the living trees that will never die. Amen. And may the grace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.